Okay, we're going to talk today about the Yom Kippur davening, because I think you get into Yom Kippur and you're supposed to just daven, but it's much better if you're prepared and have a broader understanding of what the davening is all about. The first thing I wanted to discuss or share with you is a very famous Rambam in the middle of Hilchot Teshuvah, because we really have to ask ourselves, what's the point and what's the need for the davening of Yom Kippur at all? Would things be different if we didn't daven at all on Yom Kippur? And I'm going to ask you that question in the context of a very famous Rambam, one second, in Hilchot Teshuvah, where he says, the following. Of course, I can't find it now. Okay. Here we are. Av al pi. Shehatshuva v'atzaaka yafer la'olam. Tshuva and crying out are good for the world. Ba'aseret yamim bein Rosh Hashanah v'yom kippurim hu yafa biyoter. It's especially nice during these 10 days of the year. U'miyad yimitkabelet, and it's immediately accepted. Shne'amar, as it says, Dirshu Hashem b'hi matz'o kira'uhu biyoto karav. Seek out God where He is found. Call to Him when He is close. B'med dvarim amurim b'yachid. That's true for an individual. So, an individual, but a tzibur, anytime you do tshuva, we're okay. So these 10 days, kind of gets it when you read this, it's like, am I really using these 10 days properly? You know what I'm saying? Are we all just using the 10 days properly, or are we waiting until Yom Kippur, and then I'll do my tshuva, and then I'll do what I have to do? Anyway, okay, so he says, these specifically 10 days are especially appropriate for individual tshuva. I'm reading on. Yom HaKippurim. The Yom Kippur, Huzman Tshuva Lakol, Layachid V'Larabim. It's a time of Tshuva for everyone, for the individual and for the community. V'hi Ketz Mechila Uslicha L'Yisrael. It is the Ketz, the end of, the culmination of Slicha a Mechila for Yisrael. What if you don't do Tshuva on Yom Kippur?
To the fifth day of
Hanukkah. What if you don't do? That's the extension? I didn't hear that. Who said that? There's a concept called Itzuyom Shel Yom, Itzumo Shel Yom Mechaper. That the day itself is an atonement. Ki bayom hazeh echaper aleichem netaher etchem mikol chatotechem. We're going to say that pasuk like a zillion times. You might notice that everything we say on Yom Kippur we say a zillion times. Right? We say basically the same thing over and over and over again. Okay. So why do we daven? Let me ask you a better question. 2,000 years ago, when they still had the Beit HaMikdash, I would say 2,500 years ago, in the times of Shlomo HaMelech and David HaMelech, not David, Shlomo, and afterwards, during the times of the Beit HaMikdash, or Beit Rishon, what did people do on Yom Kippur all day?
They watched the service. They
watched the coming. The ones that were around, what if you lived in Yad Binyamin?
You watched
it on Hanukkah.
Oh, you didn't go to the
Beit HaMikdash
on Yom Kippur.
Yeah.
It wasn't the Shloshet
HaRegel. Wasn't Ali HaRegel. Correct. You weren't hanging out.
You fasted.
You did the Inuim. That's right.
You did what?
And you did the Chamisha Inuim.
You can't work.
Who's took care of your kids?
Without the formal tefillah, you sit at home and reflected, I guess, and tried to.
Think about what, I wanted to share with. Think about what is Yom Kippur like if you took away the whole day at Shul.
But that's what it's like for many women at this point.
I don't know what you mean. I'm kidding. I know what you mean.
No, but those women who don't go to shul are busy with their children. But what happens if you weren't in that situation? If you were a man who...
No, but to say that Yom Kippur is all about davening, yes, maybe when I was 20, Yom Kippur was all about davening. But the reality is that for most of us in this room, Yom Kippur is not all about davening at this point.
But that's because you've got other things you have to
right.
do.
But
some people don't. So
what do you do? You obviously you're taking care of your kids and you're feeding them. That's not a whole day deal.
That's not what some people do all the time.
I'm not being cynical. I mean, you're
there's
time. I mean, there are small periods in between.
It can be very difficult.
What?
Find quiet times they want to run us, right? It can be very difficult. Because
yeah.
they get To tell your children you can't bother them.
They won't bother you or tug on you or scream.
I don't know if I would trade that for minion all year long. Seriously.
No, but when you've got very little kids, Yom Kippur is like any other day almost in many ways.
Except that you're fasting. For a lot of people, Yom Kippur, there are a lot of people that Yom Kippur is really just getting through the day. It's how can I fast? And, you know, people who have babies, young children, people who are pregnant, nursing, like all those things, it's really just getting through the day for a lot of people.
Okay. I didn't think this was going this direction. But what? No, I think it's important to acknowledge. It's really an important thing to acknowledge. And then how do you find a way to make that meaningful? How do you steal that time? I mean, you have to. You have no choice. It's a day of tshuva. Or, we got 10 days. You got 3 days now. You got Wednesday, Thursday, Friday leading up to Yom Kippur. It doesn't say it's the only day. These are the 10 days. So, you know, then the days when your husband's hopefully around on Friday. You know what I'm saying? Would it be worthwhile to then say, I'm not going to have this time on Yom tomorrow, so I need to daven mincha in a way that I wouldn't have normally daven mincha. Just know, I mentioned that. We're going to talk about that in general, that mincha has a veto.
It's not going to be mincha on Yom Kippur.
It is.
But it's not.
You say that.
Yes. Correct. Correct. So that might be the best davening you have on all of Yom Kippur. And that might, and knowing that, then to say, you know, you're on for this hour, and I'm going to daven for this hour. And there's the vidui, and that's basically it. You know what I'm saying? And that's going to be my davening. I think that's something to be said for doing that.
I'm not saying that's what my Yom Kippur is.
That's fine.
This kind of community, like people do swaps. You watch my kids for Shacharit. I'll watch your kids for Mosav. Husbands can go to the Nate's Minyan. Women can go to the later Minyan. Like, right.
But the Rambam says the following. Itzumo shel yom hazmecheper. Lefikach chayavim hakol lasot tshuva. It's a day that specifically it's the itzumo shel yom hazmecheper, but it's not in place of. Meaning, of course, it does provide atonement for people, but atonement isn't just is a zero sum game. Okay, you're all forgiven. It's a process whereby HaKadosh Baruch Hu takes us and brings us farther than we could get on our own. But if you don't want to go anywhere, and it only gets you a little bit. And the more you're willing to go, the more you want to go, the farther it will take you. Okay. Umitzvat vidui Yom Kippurim she'atchil me'erev hayom kodem she'yochal. So why is there that vidui? Interestingly, at mincha, this is what we do. We do have a special mincha, and we say vidui on mincha. So why do we have that vidui on mincha? Because shema yichanek b'seuda kodem she'yitvadeh. Because you're about to eat a big meal. Chas v'shalom, a person will choke on a chicken bone, okay, and die. And he won't have done his vidui. He won't have said vidui. So therefore, that's why mincha is always early before. You didn't notice before the seuda.
That's the reason.
That's the reason.
That's
maybe
why
a chuck.
Well.
The Gemara says that early before the seuda. Okay, ve'aval pi shi'itvadeh kodem she'achal. And even though you did vidui before, chozer mitvadeh b'leilei Yom Kippur arvit ve'chozer mitvadeh b'shachrit u'beminsaf u'bemincha u'be'ni'ila. Okay, so you say vidui over and over and over again. How many times do we have vidui altogether on Yom Kippur?
10 times.
Okay, altogether 10 times.
But is the reason in case something happens to you in between each?
No.
I don't think nothing. It's 10 altogether. Mincha.
No.
Mincha first, then Maariv, Shachrit, Musaf.
Okay.
Mincha, Ni'ila.
I feel like
only say it privately. Yeah.
I feel like that makes it less like it's like, oh well, if I don't have, you know, enough kavanah this time, I'll just do it next time. Like it's like it when you have it.
Well, now that we've established you're only gonna dive in mincha one side, we're all y'all set.
I do dive.
No, it's fine.
Not all women. But I feel like sometimes it's very difficult to concentrate on something when you feel like, okay, this is it. So fine, when you feel like,
The first thing we have to talk about is the vidui. We're not going to go into the individual parts of the vidui. There's two viduis. There's vidui of the yachin and vidui of the rabim. The vidui that we all say individually, privately, quietly on your own. And then there's the communal vidui. The words are the same, but they don't have to be the same. And the poskim or the commentators, the rabbanim who write about this are explicit. There's no reason why you have to say only the ones beratzon. In fact, it's against the idea. They're giving you words. But those aren't the only words that you can say. person should take the time quietly when all the children are asleep at night, right, and go through, try as best as you can, and go through A, your year, and B, your personality, and say, what is it that I have to do tshuva for? That's what we're saying to Al-Khayt. You know, like, the problem with the words, there's always this conundrum of tefillah. Chazal give us a language. But then that language becomes a crux for us to recite as opposed to pray. Which it's not supposed to be. So, this is the hard work. This is the hardest and most meaningful part of Yahadut. Which is the obligation, but also the opportunity for reflection and retrospection and self-improvement. So, if you can't do it in Hebrew, many of us can, but if you can't do it in Hebrew, say it in English. I need to be a better person. I need to be calmer. I need to be less angry. I'm sorry I lashed out at whatever. This is what davening is all about. That's what the Al-Khayt is all about. That's what the Ashamnas are all about. And it's critically important, and I would say it's most meaningful for me personally, Ilana, first. The earlier ones are more meaningful for me, and it's much harder as it gets along because you keep saying the same things over and over again. But that's the beauty of it. Okay, that's Mincha on Friday. On Friday, hopefully we spend time beforehand, and usually it's like an hour where I steal, or 20 minutes, or whatever, you take a piece of paper, and you start writing, and you start thinking. Yeah, I remember, at the end, at the back, correct, but that's the vidui, and he lists a bunch of stuff that you're like, oh yeah, I did that too, yeah, okay, right, that's, you know what I'm saying, it's very good.
I don't know if they did this yet, they used to put out a list of also other words, like other alphabet words.
Correct. These are all good things, and I don't mean to minimize them in any way. But the essential vidui is what comes from within us, and what comes from our own introspection. And it's really important to try very hard not to wait until I'm standing at the Al-Khayt to try to think about, you know, what was I like on Hanukkah? Like, why did I yell at my kids when they spoiled the oil all over the floor? Whatever it was, it doesn't really matter. But that's a little late to start thinking about. It has to be a little bit earlier. Okay, so that's the first part of the vidui, the individual vidui. And you can do that quietly, and you don't do that, obviously, with the communal vidui. And Rav Soloveitchik talks often about the idea of the individual, that we are as individuals, but also as a community, we need to do kapara. And as a community, we're not mefareh. We don't go into specifics. But as individuals, that between us and the Ribono Shel Olam, that's our obligation to go into specifics. And that's why you don't have to keep it, you can keep up when it's, because we're saying it as a community. That's a communal, not as an individual.
So if you're not dabbing with a minion?
Once. You don't say it twice. You wouldn't go back and say
you
it
You don't
again.
Say the threshold.
No. It's only in the context of the community. Okay?
When you say it as a community, but when you dab into yourself, then
that's when you add your own in.
That's when you add your own in. That's when I would say you should add your own in. Absolutely.
Right.
Okay? And only we know ourselves if we're prepared or if we're not prepared beforehand. Okay, you mentioned what's it like, Yom Kippur. Yom Kippur reminds you of Tisha B'Av. I think this is a really, really important thing to try to work on and to try to focus on. Yom Kippur is not Tisha B'Av. It's really not. And unfortunately, it carries a lot of the same technical aspects that remind us of Tisha B'Av. But our attitude, it's really important for us as much as possible to try to focus our attitude and shape it for our children. I mean, as kids, it's a hard day. It really is a hard day. It seems very bleak. You can't eat. You spend in your shul all day. But I think our attitude as parents also reflects that. Do we see it as an opportunity, as something that's a positive? You know what I'm saying? We try to teach our children that very often the things that are hardest are the most meaningful. I'm trying to teach my daughter now. I feel best after I run. I wouldn't say running is fun, but you feel good after you run because you worked and you tried and she's starting to get that a little bit, that you feel best after. And that Yom Kippur is an opportunity that forces us to work on ourselves, and to look at it as in that way. And I think that our ritual Erev Chag is very important also. I don't know how your Suda Hamafsek it is, but it's a Suda Chagigit. And one of the reasons, the many reasons why we have a Suda Chagigit, but one of the main reasons is because Yom Kippur is a chag. It's a chag of kapara. It's a chag of tshuva. But you can't have a su'uda on a chag. So if you think about it, really, we don't make kiddush, but we have a real yantif meal before we have a yantif.
But also on the mitzvah to eat Erev Yom Kippur?
Yes.
I'm saying, not because it's a chag, there's a specific dorit to mitzvah to eat Erev Yom Kippur.
Correct. Correct, but I'm saying, and that manifests itself not only in the gnashing all day long, but specifically the eating is in preparation, but I think there's an, I'm trying to show there's an additional meaning. The eating itself is a celebratory eating.
Yeah,
well, it's a, the suda is a mitzvah, that's correct. The eating is a mitzvah. But to be treated as a mitzvah, we're
we don't say yada yada on benching or anything like that.
No.
You don't
to, but you, I mean,
you do not.
I don't know. When it, the way I was raised, right? This, sometimes these things don't reflect themselves in the tefillah per se. But first of all, we do before we do. We always do the kaparot, and we do the, we give our children these the, you know, the long brachot that appear. That sort of gives that. You don't do the long. We do the. When I was raised, my parents only gave brachot on Yom Kippur, so we switch them. We do it every Shabbat. But there's a long one, I don't know if you have it. There's a Yiratzom Lefanecha, Shitem Yimcha, Vatov Yiratom. You never saw that? Okay, take a look. There's a long Yiratzom. It's a beautiful bracha. Very, very beautiful bracha. Right before, right after
Mincha.
Right after candlelighting. Okay? Strongly recommend adopting this Nusach. Strongly recommend it. It's just beautiful. You know what I'm saying? And you spend, it makes you spend more than 2 seconds with each child. My mother does this. I don't do it, but I think it's something to think about. My mother, when she calls us, she spends time thinking before Yom Kippur about what she's proud about for each of her children, even though we're now adults, and it's still meaningful to me as an adult, telling them what you're proud of during the, what they've accomplished during the year, and giving them a certain goal, maybe. You know what I'm saying? So it's not just a text.
I prefer that because you told me once that, you said just once that every Shabbat you say something.
Yes.
And I'm home. Every Shabbat go once a year.
I have to tell you, sometimes I rack my brain, but sometimes I rack my brain, and sometimes it'll be something as simple as, I'm proud that you went, got to school on time every day this week. You know what I'm saying? It's not like, you know, you say, you cured Ebola. I'm not looking for that. You know what I'm saying? What's that? You ask for forgiveness from your children? It's a worthwhile thing to do. I think they should probably ask for forgiveness more than usual. Ask for forgiveness. Ask!
You tell them the same way sometimes Imam may have yelled at you, or you might have didn't do the right thing. Maybe you during the year, possibly, maybe didn't do the right thing. I'm going to ask Imam also. And then they all say, I'm sorry, Imam, if I did anything. And then it's very hard to say, Salafti, but I try very hard.
Mahu rachum, afatar rachum. Right? If you don't do this bracha, it's worthwhile to do. But that gives a whole tone to the whole seuda. Now, generally, we're always like, you know, running late. It's very hard not to do this. But you always say, we're going to sit down at 2 o'clock, and then at 4:17, you're like, where is everybody? You know? But it gives a tone, and we have challah. I don't know if you do, we have a challah. And you don't just... It's not just like, you know, a bowl of pasta. It's not. It's a yantif meal. It always had that, you know. And it's so funny because it's not brought in any of the postgame, but it's something that I think all of us do. It's so fascinating. And there's this sense that this is the Yom Kippur.
I've been pesked that I
have a suda, yes. But who said you had to make motzi with challah and have soup and have like the stuff that you would have during a yantif meal? Yeah.
I'm saying one of my children was born within 3 days of Yom Kippur.
Yeah.
I had to have the whole suda and have to take it in the hospital and then still eat 3 meals a day. But I had to have that suda and have to take it.
Yeah, 100%. I agree. It's a thing. Yeah, yes. That's what we do. Yeah. Okay. And it's worthwhile doing it. That shapes the day. Okay, so mincha we did. What? No, we didn't do it. You don't have to do it. But you, I mean, in theory, you don't have to have a challah either. And you don't have to have, what, soup and kreplach? That's a thing? No. I mean, soup, yes. Kreplach is a minhag makom. I don't know. Okay, well, let's go to Arvit. Okay, turn to the tefillah, the Shemona Esrei of Arvit, specifically Chazarat HaShatz. Because this is important. I guess, are any of you in tefillah during Arvit? Any going to make it? If you make it, okay? It's very important to understand that basically the entire davening, every single Chazarat HaShatz is built around one thing. And that is, anybody know? It's built around Slichot. It's built around the model of Slichot. So it must be very hard for you, because you come, meaning men who daven Slichot, especially the Ashkenazi men, There's a form. It's a rote in a sense, and it really, it beats you down day after day after day until finally you're on Yom Kippur and say, whatever, just, you know, forgive me. You know what I'm saying? It's so much slichot. But this is exactly the same model of slichot. Slichot start with Yud Gimel Midot HaRachamim, And Yom Kippur is also, you know, these Yud Gimel and Midot HaRachamim are a essential focus of Yom Kippur. So if Yom Kippur is a day of forgiveness, we know, we've said this before, the Yud Gimel and Midot HaRachamim are also a magic formula, a special formula that the Ribbono Shel Olam gave us in order that He should forgive us. And we read it in, it starts in Har Sinai, when Moshe Rabbeinu doesn't know what to do, and he says, you have to forgive us. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, okay, I will. And then HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, va, bam, 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 bam. One second. Here it is. Okay. Moshe Rabbeinu goes up with the two lochot. Vayir Hashem ba'anan, vayitetei b'yimosham, vayikra b'shem Hashem. This is in Shemot, if you're calling at home, Lamedalin. Vayavor Hashem apanav vayikra. God, it's unclear what it means. Vayavor, God passed over his face and he said, Hashem, Hashem, el rachum mechanun, erech apayim, v'av chesed ve'emet, otze chesed la'alafim, nosei avon, v'apesha v'chata'a, v'nake lo yinake, poked avot al banim, al b'nei banim, al shileshim, ra'ri ba'im. One year we'll do a whole shiur on what are these Yud Gimel Midot, because it's not even clear what they are. But what we do know is, God said it. It's given to us. It's like a gift. You say that, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, "Vayom Hashem, salachti kidvarecha." No problem. You're forgiven. It's not that you're not going to pay for your sins, but you are forgiven. Okay. And so all of the davening of Yom Kippur is said surrounding these Yud Gimel Midot HaRachamim. So basically, Yom Kippur is one long slichot, more or less, one long slichot. So you'll basically notice. It starts with, there's no even Chazarat HaShatz, you'll notice. There's no repetition. Okay? We'll say Vayachulu, because it's Shabbat, and then you'll skip Ya'ale Tachanunim Le'erev, V'yavosha Avartini Miboker. A lot of piyut, poetry. There's a ton of poetry. You should only know how much poetry we don't say. Basically, in our communities, we skip all the poetry that our grandparents said. We skip all of it. We don't say any of it. Okay. Then we go to Shomea Tefillah. So those of you who don't say Slichot, Shomea Tefillah is essential introduction to Slichot. Okay, it's basically the introduction that we say every day. Every day in the morning you start with Ashrei and you say Shomea Tefillah. It's the same thing, literally the identical thing. Okay, then you'll see right away it goes into El Melech Hashem Bakasei Rachamim. Everybody following with me? At the end of Shomea Tefillah. Sometimes you'll say a pasuk together, sometimes you won't. Is El Melech Hashem Bakasei Rachamim? Right there. Okay? El Melech is always the introduction right before you give the Yigimel Midot. Okay? Let's just read it. It's important to, maybe we'll just say it together. We'll read it together. El Melech, God King. Yoshev Bakasei Rachamim, you're sitting on your throne of forgiveness. Mitnaheg Bechasidut. In Chasidut is righteousness. You don't behave like a chassid. He doesn't have a long beard. Okay? Mochel avonot amo. You forgive the sins of your nation. Ma'avir rishon rishon. You pass over the first sins and the second sins. Ma'abem mechila lechataim oses uslicha leposhim. You have great forgiveness for those who sin. Slicha for those who sin in other ways. Oset tzedakah im kol basaruach. You do kindness with every living person. Lo chara atam tigmo. You don't give us back the evil that we deserve. El. You taught us to say Shlosh Esrei, the 13 attributes. Zechar lanu hayom brit Shlosh Esrei. So now remember the covenant of Shlosh Esrei. Keshehodata le'anav mikedem, as you taught Anav, who's the Anav? Moshe mikedem, originally. Kemoshe katuv, as it says, Vayered Hashem ba'anan v'yitasev imosham v'yikra b'shem Hashem v'yavor Hashem panav. And all we say is, and then we all just say, you give a readout, Hashem, Hashem, Kel Racham, Mechan, Erech, Abayim, Vav Chesed, Be'emet. I remember vividly, it's so interesting, I remember Rabbi Meidan once gave a shiur, Rabbi Meidan was not the Rosh Yeshiva of Har Tzion in Shalavim, and he was talking about Ne'ila. In Ne'ila, it gets so crazy, that basically we say, you give a readout, Rachamim, and then you have, we'll see, one pasuk, and then you just go right back into Yigidu Rachamim, up to the point, at the very end, what's the pasuk in the middle? The Yigimel Midot HaRachamim is the pasuk of the middle. Say, hey, let's say again, Yigimel Midot HaRachamim. You know, it's ad kidei kach that it's, you know, it's almost like Yom Kippur starting like this and getting narrower and narrower and narrower and narrower and narrower until the very end. What? More and more. All you're saying is, you're saying it over and over and over and over again. Okay, so then we skip down to that, and it's Yom Hashem Salachti Kid Varecha, and then you'll see Slachna Hashemu to Poshei Amecha, Piyut, poetry, written by some medieval rabbi, whenever. Yeah. No, no, you're in. That's why we're doing this. Yeah. Yud Gimel Midat Racham. Yud Gimel. 13 attributes of forgiveness. These 13 attributes of forgiveness that appear in Shemot Lamed Daled that God gave to Moshe on Har Sinai after the Chet HaEgel. God says to Moshe, "Say these. If you remind me of these attributes of mine, of God's, I'll forgive you. No matter what you did."
These words?
Hashem, Kel, Rachum, Chanun, Erech, Apayim. Yeah, those words. I mean, that's just a straight off quote from the Chumash. Okay? And then we do Piyut, and you'll notice what again. Right back into it. Again. Okay? And then we're in Amnam Kain, Yesi, Sochim, Manu. Again. All of these are nice tunes. Depends on the Chazan, whatever he does. Piyut, poetry. Written by, in your art school notes, it might tell you who wrote it. I really have no idea. Okay. Amnam Kain. Where am I? How far have I gone?
Tosfos, Rabbi Yom Tov Ben Yitzchak.
Okay, good.
In 1190.
Where are you? Amnam Kain. I'm keep going. Amnam Kain. Okay, you'll see again, it said all of these are excuses to get to Yugimo Minat Arachamin. El Melech Hashem Hashem. Right, just understand, the essence of the tefillah is Yugimo Minat. If you can't say it fast enough, and that's what I tell my children when they get slichos, is like brutally fast. The Ashkenazic slichos are crazy fast. That's why there's a movement now for, my son says, next year I'm doing Sephardi slichos. Because it's more meaningful. It's slower. They say the same thing every day. They say the same words every day. And over a month, you have to say it, but they say the same thing every day.
And it's
in
the service.
What?
And it's in the service.
So it's in the davening of Kippur. So this is also the davening of Kippur. It just so happens, it's so interesting, Ne'ilah, which we'll get to, is a combination of all the slichot that we said during the week leading up to Anasar Yom Tshuva. Like, I always feel like people who come into Yom Kippur and don't daven, if they just show up at Yom Kippur, it's terrible. Because you didn't prepare, you don't really know what's going on, but if you did the work before and you're there, you're ready, then it's like, oh yeah, we said this, oh yeah, we said that. And it's like, everything I did until now, I'm now ready for it. If you didn't do it, then it is boring. It's really boring.
Can you just switch to Sephardi?
Not really. No, I'm sorry. I wasn't thrilled when he said it because.
You can marry him.
Yeah.
Will he come?
There's actually a bunch of rabbis came out and said that they somebody created a nusach, a combined nusach for communities to say together. You know, because what do? The Yamin Narayim. The Yamin Narayim specifically, when we need togetherness, we split up.
When we were at Oroch, our rabbi said, if we're going to Slichot, we must go to Sephardi.
You have to go to Sephardi Slichot?
Go to Sephardi Slichot.
How was it? Ezra didn't like it. Okay.
It depends. If you go at night to the Slichot, they're more like singing usually, aren't they?
No.
Just Bobby.
What? We just Bobby. Oh, you went to Bobby?
Because they're away.
No, you know why? Because what happened was, on the first night, like that always was a thing. Just so you know. It was always a thing. It was a community event. So when that thing first started, it became like a dinner dance, and then slichot, and a chazanah concert. So that's how you got people in the mood in America for slichot. You had a chazanah concert. Okay, what time was the concert?
12 o'clock.
No.
Early.
Well, you had an event. You had a social, and then at 10 o'clock you had to be at night. Technically, slichot, it doesn't have to be at night. It has to be after midnight. It has to be in the morning. As we've gotten more halachic, those events have gone by the wayside. You know, some major synagogues in New York, or I don't know what it's like in, you know, where you're from. What?
1,000 people. Like,
where?
Rabbi Weiss of Shalit Shair in Riverdale.
What time?
They have a concert, I don't know, from like 10 to 12. And then they sleep.
Okay, so if I know them, they do the whole, I'm sure they just do a karbachi. You know what I'm saying?
First night.
Right. So in my shul, I actually killed slichot at night. I killed it. Because what happened was we always did it at 12 at midnight. But unfortunately, in my understanding, halachically, midnight is the worst time to say slichot. Like, why do we say slichot? Because we want to invoke the midat ha-rachamim. But the Kabbalists say explicitly that the first part of the night is a midat ha-din. Now, I don't understand these things, I promise. I really don't. But what I can tell you is, if you want to invoke midat ha-rachamim, you don't tell God, listen, I'd love to invoke midat ha-rachamim, but you might do it a little earlier. You know, on my schedule.
And I'm not going to bed, it's too early.
Right, right. So I personally believe if you can't stay up late, that's fine. So don't say slichot. It's not halachically obligated. It's not halacha. It's a nice minhag. But it's like, here, I'd like to do my midat chasidut, I'd like to go above and beyond God, but I'd like to do it on my terms, not on your terms. It doesn't make sense to me. The problem was in Detroit, in Oak Park, chatzot, after midnight, was 1:18 in the morning. It was brutal. So the first couple of years, we changed it to 1:18 in the morning, 1:20 we started. And like, no women could come. It was like, so we had it, but everyone's like, no, it's not the same. I don't know.
So what is the ideal time to do it?
The ideal time to do it is after chatzot.
Which is when?
12:05. It's not so bad. 12:30, whatever it is.
We went on the tour of the Beit Knesset.
Yeah, what time? Oh, yeah. How was that? It was nice, wasn't it?
It was actually lovely.
Yeah.
And then except when we went down to the Kotel, there must have been 70,000.
Packed.
Yeah.
I wish I was there 2 nights ago. So
yeah, we were there.
Could you hear anything?
We could hear it. They had on a Ramco.
No.
Yeah, but the amount of people.
So that's not nice? That's lichot, it wasn't nice or it was too much? Right. No, it's going to be 50 times worse.
50 times better.
Better, sorry. 50 times more crowded. 50 times more. Crushed. Right. Amazing. That's what you mean. Okay. Oh, but did you say slichot? Do you have any chance, or you didn't get into the slichot themselves? Did your husband say? Did he like it? There's something to be said for saying with us. They did the chatzot? Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. He was like, I think it's like, let's go. He was like, come on, come.
Besides, you couldn't leave early anyway. You had to wait for the bus. Let's go to the next piyut. Ki hinei hachomer. This is one of my favorites. Okay? It's a beautiful piyut.
Can I just ask you one more question?
Sure.
The whole concept of rizah for slichot, like surely that's the one time you should really, like that should override the whole thing of midat hadin.
Yes.
So you should do it at 12:30 because you want to show Hashem the earliest opportunity I can come and do slichot.
So I get up and do it at 6:15 in the morning instead of 6:45, and that's the reason that I can do. You know what I'm saying? Everybody, the ideal is to do it at right after chatzot to get up. Yeah. But you know, okay. there are growth, but it's certainly appropriate to do it in the morning. Do it early in the morning also. Yes, the Midah HaRachamim again. Ki hinei kachomer. This is a beautiful piyut. Who wrote this one? Did you ever see it? This is a piyut, a beautiful poetry. We are like chomer, clay in the hands of the creator, of the artist. Birtzoto marchiv ubirtzoto mekatzer. Wants to make it wider, wants to make it longer. Kena nachnu biyadcha chesed notzer. So we are you in your hands, the creator of chesed. La brit habet, turn to the covenant, which brit again? No, you give a midot, v'altefen layetzer, and don't turn to your yetzer, to your desire. Meaning, don't do. Look at the covenant, and don't do what we deserve.
But isn't the 13 attributes also related to the 13 martyrs?
The 13
martyrs.
No.
Because there's a whole
10 martyrs. We'll get there if we have time. We will get there. We'll get there. One second, hold on, we'll get there. Kinea even biyada misatet. It's like the stone in the hands of the carver. Brisoto achez, brisoto mikatet. Sometimes he holds, sometimes he crushes. It's beautiful poetry. Kein anachu biyadcha mechaye umimotet. See the rhyme? So we are in your hands. You give life, or mimotet. It's a form of lahamit. La britabet v'altefen layetzer. So you can go through each one, and it goes through all these different forms of people who are creative and create and form. So to God, we are in your hands. Do with us as you please. When we sing it, it's very nice. I always found that just personally very, very meaningful. That we just put ourselves in your hands, God. Form us as you please. And then what do we go into, of course? El Melech. Your Gimel Midot HaRachamim again. See, right? Okay, it's all an interlude just to get to your Gimel Midot HaRachamim. This is essentially an extended form of slichot. It's not essentially. It is. It is entirely. Zuchor Rachamecha also appears in slichot. When you get to Zuchor Rachamecha, you know you're at the end. Okay, you're moving to the end, which leads into, we'll skip a bit, to Shema Koleinu. That's also in slichot. And then in slichot, what you immediately say is Hashamnus. But here we don't just say the Ashamnus, we have the extended version of Vidui. So what we have is that the Slichot are just really preparation for the Slichot that we recite before Rosh Hashanah and all the way up to leading up to Yom Kippur, they're just preparation for Yom Kippur. So someone who's been saying Slichot all along, you get to Yom Kippur, you're like, oh yeah, I'm in the groove now. I'm practiced. I'm ready. So then, you know, you're good. And if you didn't, then you have to sort of build up to it. You know what I'm saying? Okay. That, and that we do, this is exactly what we do throughout, and basically it ends. Okay? Say the manchamecha, nisha'ana, and then abina malkeinu. That's the end of davening. Okay? That's at night. Skip to shacharit. Chazar to shacharit and shacharit. I'm going to show you that it's essentially exactly the same thing. Just as a note, we're not, I'm going to note this. You notice, I didn't mention it, but there's a minhag, as we all know, in Shema, to say Baruch Shem, Kavod Malchuto Le'olam Ve'ed out loud. And the reason why we do that is because, of course, Yom Kippur is the day that we have the Hayinu Yim. We are lowering our physicality. It's the day that you intentionally, in the words of the Torah, it's Initem et nafshotechem. You afflict your nefesh. Nefesh is nefesh chaya. Your living soul. The physicality, your physical body. So you're afflicting that part, and when you lower your physicality, you're essentially raising your spirituality. Okay? So when you do that, then you become like the Malachim, and the Malachim, as it says, they say Baruch Shem Kavod Malchuto out loud. So the one day a year that we also say it out loud. It's always better at night than during the day. I have no idea why, but it's a chavaya.
I once heard a one sentence word which ties into this and also into the comparison between Tisha B'Av and Yom Kippur. And he said, on Tisha B'Av, who could eat?
Right.
On Yom Kippur, who needs to eat?
Right. Because
we're like the angels.
I agree with that. I feel that way. Like I feel like as you get farther along the day, you know, once you get over that break and you're back into it, there's like the not eating helps you make the day so what it's supposed to be. If you had a meal and you came back, you're like, you know, like. I'll never forget, Rabbi. We used to have Yachi Kal with Jacob J. Schechter. Rabbi Jacob J. Schechter is an incredible speaker and mentor in Talmid Chacham. So way back when he went and started what was called the Soloveitchik Institute in Boston for a number of years while it existed. Okay, and so he invited groups of rabbis for what he called the Yarche Kala. The rabbi used to invite rabbis or you know, to come study with him. So he invited us for Yarche Kala and he would give us drushas. He would give us like drusha material. We would sit around a huge table, 30 or 40 of us, and we would just sit and learn for 3 days. It was incredible. In Houston, when I remember, he used to say, you know, Kol Nidre, the drusha of Kol Nidre is the worst. It's absolutely the worst. Because everybody came and they stuffed themselves. You know, and now we got in, you said Kol Nidre for 10 minutes, and then they sit down, and he said, they're krexing, they're grepsing, they're burping, and like, brr. Now, Rabbi, speak to me! Entertain! You know, like, and you have to, like, it's Kol Nidre, and you have to get them in the mood. And the last thing they want is you know, like, they're just, you can't. You just can't, you know. And you have to give this, you know, we used to do the appeals. It was always like, this supposed to be this, like, rousing, you know, whatever. So as the time goes along and you're less like that, you're just not thinking about it anymore. Okay, you're hungry, but there's other things to worry about. You know what I'm saying? And that's something to teach our children as they get older, not obviously when they're young, but as they hit bar mitzvah. And they're feeling the hunger, to try to educate them in that direction as to say, you can daven in a way that you can't daven any other time of the year. And you can concentrate in a way that you won't any other time of the year. And if you learn to do that as time goes along, as the years go along, we used to have a member, I remember him fondly, I'll mention him later, he used to say, yeah, Yom Kippur was over, I could go another 3 hours. You know, like if you feel that way. What? Once it's over, I want to point out a paragraph that I've been focusing on recently in the davening, okay? It's in regular shacharit. And the reason I've been focusing on it, I don't know, did anybody see or attend the Shloshim service in Yerushalayim for the three boys that were killed? It was a service of Shloshim for the three boys that were killed. You watched it? Yes, yes. So there's a video afterwards of Racheli Frankel who spoke. She spoke beautifully. I mean, she's unbelievable. So she mentioned this paragraph that we say every single day. And it's something to note, and I've been really, it's hard to have kavanah because you're like flying through davening. But it's, I think it's worthwhile on Yom Kippur, in Shachari, after Baruch Hu, go back to Baruch, after Baruch Hu, okay? We say this every day, and I think it's so beautiful and so important and so significant, and Yom Kippur has even more meaning, okay? It's one long paragraph, so we say, you see where I am, right before Kadosh Kadosh. You get to Kadosh Kadosh, and there's piyut that everybody skips, so we're not going to say any of that piyut. I remember when I was younger, we used to say some stuff, and nobody knows what to say. We all skip it all. We skip all of it. So we, right before Kadosh Kadosh, go past, past that. Okay. Yeah, it's the weekday davening. See, there's all that poetry that we skip.
3:36.
Crazy. We skip it all. Here we go. Right before we say Titbarach Tzureinu. Okay. We go up to V'chulam Osim Be'ema Yeratzon Konam. We all do with fear and awe the will of their God. V'chulam Potchim Et Piyem B'Kedusha V'Tara. They all open their mouths with Kedusha, with sanctity and holiness. B'Shira U'B'Zimra, with song and song. U'Mevarchim U'Meshabchim U'Memfarim U'Ma'aritzim U'Maktishim Et Shem Ha'El HaMelech HaGadol HaGiyum Rav Kadosh. So everybody's opening their mouths to give praise to God. How do we give praise to God? This sentence gives me chills every time I think about it now, and I'm shocked at myself that I spent the first 40 years of my life just flying through it. Rachel Frankel said the following, and all she did was read the words. B'chulam mekablim aleihem ol machut shamayim ze mizeh. You want to be mekabel ol machut shamayim? It's talking about the angels, but it talks about us too. We're mekabel ol machut shamayim ze mizeh. Okay? They all are mekabel ol machut shamayim, each from another. It's talking about the angels themselves. But v'notnim reshut ze lazeh, they give permission one to the other. Meaning, I can't be mekadesh shem shamayim by myself. If I want to be mekadesh shem shamayim, I can only do it with my fellow angel, and for us, with our fellow men. But in order for him to give to say kedusha, he needs permission from me. In order for me to say kedusha, I need permission from him. And how do we do that? Lahakdish liyotzram, we have to sanctify our Creator, benachat ruach. Nachat ruach? Translation?
Tranquility.
What? Nice spirit, tranquility. But, okay, so nice spirit, whatever. No. Bisafa brura ubini'ima. A clear language, but a pleasant language. Okay? Kedusha kulam ke'achar unim v'amim v'yira. And I think it's so that this language, Chazal wrote, is so powerful. Because we don't have a monopoly on Kedusha. Nobody, no Jewish group, no Jewish community has a monopoly on Kedusha. You want to give Kedusha? You have to do it, on the one hand, on your own, but you have to do it, notnim olmachut shamayim zem mizeh. We need them, who they are, and they need us, whoever they are. We need to give reshut, and we have to accept reshut. But that doesn't mean that when you give reshut, accept reshut, that you minimize who and what you are and the way you're mekadesh shem shamayim. You have to say kedusha b'safra brura ubini'ima. You say it clearly, forcefully. You articulate who you are pleasantly. And I think it's such a beautiful, powerful combination of attitudes of speaking. I don't forgive. I don't apologize for who I am. I believe strongly in who I am. But I'm not the only person who has the truth. My kiddushat shem shamayim isn't the only way to be mekadesh shem shamayim. And I need reshut from him. But nonetheless, that doesn't mean that when I acknowledge the truth of someone else who does differently than me, that I don't articulate in a clear but a pleasant manner. And it's such a... She spoke about this and she said it. And I was like, oh my God, this is like the mantra that we have to really focus on. And since then, every day, like I try, and I stop and I say, "Oh, I'm going to say this thing," and it's important for me to focus on this piece because it's such a powerful series of words, such a powerful guide for us to be aware of. How many times when we speak, do we, on the one hand, either capitulate and don't articulate, or if we articulate, we scream, as opposed to saying it? No, b'safa brura ubeni'ima. This is who I am. This is who we are. This is how we are mekadesh shem shamayim. And if everybody did that, then you have Kedusha. Kadosh, Kadosh, Kadosh. Shem Tzvakot, Melocha La'aretz Kibodo. Just a piece of the davening that we say every day that shouldn't be skipped. Okay, let's go to the Chazar HaShatz repetitions from yesterday. We say the Al-Khayt again. Again, the Al-Khayt. Okay. Go to after Kedusha. Right after Kedusha. Piyut, 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 blah, blah, blah. Okay? Beautiful Hayderet Be'amunah. Ha'Yisrael Ga'avatom. Very nice. After Kedusha. The Chazan says his stuff. And now you'll notice. After the Chazan says his stuff, Ya'alev Yavo. This is the repetition of Shemoneh Esrei. We basically said an extended version of Shemoneh Esrei, extended version of Kedusha. And now what do you see? See right after Ki Amalach Hanum Brachum Ata and Shemoneh Esrei. I'll wait till you find it. After Kedusha. After Kedusha. After Kedusha. So when you get to the page in the art scroll, let me know. Keep going. Wait, wait, right there. Elenu Ya'alev Yavo. He's repeating Shemoneh Esrei. Ya'alev Yavo. And what do you get to right after that? Zchor Rachamecha. Now you know. What is Zchor Rachamecha? The introduction to Slichot. Okay? And we say Zchor Rachamecha, exactly the same thing we said before. Ki Beiti Beitvila Yikarei L'chol Ha'amim. One second. What happened is, so Zchor Rachamecha, if you recall, Zchor Rachamecha is the end of the Slichot. So what happened? Why did we skip to the end of the Slichot? So when I got to Oak Park, they told me that our shul has a minhag. What's the minhag? It was instituted by Rabbi Weil. Rabbi Weil instituted a minhag because he heard this from Rav Soloveitchik. Rav Soloveitchik said that what happened was, right here, Rachum Ata, right before Zchor Rachamecha, those who know Slichot know Zchor Rachamecha is right before Shema Kolenu, it's at the end. Where's all your Gimel Minhag HaRachamim? So he says what happened was, in the communities in Europe, they're supposed to say Slichot. But what happened was, the Machzorim didn't feel like printing it again. So they would have a little note saying, right here, go back to Mariv, say from, say from Shomea Tefillah, say this until, I don't know, say a bunch of piyutim, say the Gimel Midot, and then come back to Zchor Rachamecha. But over time, the printers, somehow, this line got left out. And we just started to not say it. So what happens? So if you go to the base medicine YU, that's what they do. They go back and they say Slichot. So what happened was, ironically, because of like Rabbi Soloveitchik felt, because of a printing error, or because of a printing omission, we end up skipping the most essential part of the davening in the Chazarat HaShatz, which is, again, Yugimu Midot. And then we just skip to Shema Kolenu and say the Vidui. So we do that both for, if you'll notice, we do it in Shacharit, we do it in Musaf, and we do it in Mincha. Until finally our printers, they didn't get lazy, and in the end, what happened was, in the Ila, the Slichot are a little different. So they couldn't tell you to turn back, so then we go back and say, you give them a minute again. So in our shul in Connecticut, and I would be in favor of doing this here, I don't think it'll happen, but realistically, you're supposed to have, you give them a minute about Chamim in every tefillah. And if you think about it, it makes a lot of sense. It makes perfect sense, because in the end, what you're doing is you're skipping the essence and saying for the Shema Koleinu. But I just want to point out, so you say Zchor Rachamecha, and those who say Slichot say it, and then Shema Koleinu, and again, you're at the Vidui. The Vidui is the culmination of the Slichot, and that's the end. Okay, that's the end of Shacharit. How much time do we have to do Musaf in 10 seconds? Do you have time?
5 minutes.
5 minutes for Musaf. Okay, good. That's all it'll take anyway. Skip to Musaf. Where are we?
If you had a choice out of everything to daven, what would you think would be the most important thing to daven?
Shema. Shema. Shemoneh Esrei of Shacharit. Because like, it, if I did... Shacharit, like every day, as much as you can on time. Shema and Shemoneh Esrei, like you do every day. Meaning it's an important day. But if you had to choose what to say, Shema is a mitzvah d'oraita. Kabbalah u'machut Shemaim is a mitzvah d'oraita. You should say Shacharit like you normally do. And then add on, that's great to add on, say the Shemoneh Esrei of Shacharit. Yeah.
Rosh Hashanah always goes down in Shacharit, and it's important part of
me. You're absolutely right. You're absolutely right. And people misunderstand this. I never understood, like, people in, how should we say this, in more modern Orthodox communities, they come to davening a little bit late. So if you wanted to skip davening, if you got tired of davening, do me a favor. Come to Shacharit, say Shacharit, and then leave. You know what I'm saying? But instead, they come really late. What?
And then you also has all the stuff.
Why do we have us up in this stuff?
Yeah, in general, on Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, if you're not in shul, you're like everything is in Chazar Hashatz. Like,
correct.
The individual davening.
Musaf is not more significant, really. The Musaf, all you're doing is saying.
Shacharit's pretty quick.
So.
Rosh Hashanah.
Yom Kippur. So.
You could do it pretty quick.
Fine. Fine. Great. Shacharit. Before you do additional things, do the basics. It's really important. Shema and Shemoneh Esrei.
If you're not sure, you could still say
that's
a Chazar
HaShatz.
Like what?
Yeah, you can say whatever you want.
It's
at the moment say
sure.
You can't say that you're Gemma Midah, right?
Yes, you can't say you're Gemma Midah. Correct.
You can't say that if you're not.
No, we don't say it if it's not a minion.
You don't say that you're doing it for the rabbi.
Right, correct. You wouldn't say the communal video, but you would say the individual video. Now, you think, like, can you say both? If you won't have time to say both, first I would say Shachri. If you have time afterwards to add Musaf, that's important. Ne'ilah is also important. You can say Ne'ilah.
And just a technical question. If you get into the Amidah, like I did on Rosh Hashanah, and I was in the middle of it, and my son started screaming.
That's a problem.
You just step 3 steps
yes.
back.
Yes. Interrupt. Yes.
Go out, and then you have to step 3 steps forward and go back.
Very good. Right. As long as your interruption wasn't as long as it would have taken you to complete the whole davening. How long were you interrupted for?
But I just went outside, and then I was outside, so I just carried on davening outside.
Okay. But how long was the interruption for?
Like half a minute.
Fine. Then it's fine. Then you continue. Correct. Okay. Yeah, that's fine. Good.
But it's the problem.
That was fine.
Step out
no. Definitely. How are you supposed to daven when the kid's screaming in the background?
Yeah.
Right. So you were in shul, so it was
an issue.
You
had to.
You were in shul?
No, for the first part, I thought he was fine. That's what he was playing. So
yeah. If you're in shul and your kids are screaming, you have to stop. You have to, yes.
And obviously, yeah, it's making too much noise.
Correct. Okay. The two additions in Musaf, so I point it out again, we do the al-chayt, we do the slichot, without the yugim al-mirar al-rachamim. It's almost like leaving out the most important part of the thing, but we do it anyway, that's just what we do. The two additional things that we have are called the avodah, okay? And the avodah is the main part, okay? The avodah starts after aleinu. We all say aleinu, it's additional part of the davening. We bow down, okay? But then we say the avodah. The avodah on Yom Kippur, as we know, was the essential part of the kapara in the Beit HaMikdash. In the times of Beit HaMikdash, our davening was very nice, but the essence was the avodah. And it's a very, very intricate, very, very involved avodah. And what we essentially do is read a piyut, a long, poetic, there are two versions. Right? Each community chooses the one that it likes best. Okay, but there's a long, difficult to understand, I would say, if I were you, read it in English. You know, you could say it if you want, but it's better if you're in shul to read it in English. Okay, there's a long, difficult, drawn-out description of the process of the Kohen Gadol. Just so you know, on Yom Kippur, the Kohen Gadol was the only person allowed in the Beit HaMikdash, in the Azara. He did every aspect of the Avodah, every single aspect of the Avodah in the Beit HaMikdash on Yom Kippur. From the beginning to the end, it was physically exhausting. He was not allowed to sleep at night. Right? From the start of Yom Kippur until he did the Avodah, he was busy all night long. They kept him up learning, they kept him up talking, they trained him the week before. He went to the mikvah 5 times, he washed his hands, if he 10 times, he changed his clothes 5 times, because different clothes needed different begadim, bigday zahav, the regular begadim, and he also had special bigday lavan that he would go and he would wear into the Kodesh HaKadashim. It was the one time a year that they would go into the Kodesh HaKadashim. He would go in twice or 3 times, I don't remember exactly. Once to do the sprinkling of the blood, another time to offer another time to offer the ketoret, which was the highlight, and the third time to go and bring the stuff back out, okay, to get the ketoret from inside. And of course, it was a life or death thing because it. What? That would wake someone up, right, okay?
At what point would he die?
Excellent question. They say he would die in there if you're not worthy.
Then they
string on his foot? How's that? And they drag him out. I don't know. The hook, they would pull him out. History doesn't. I'm not aware of historical records of. Yes, no. I mean, there are records of people would die on that thing. But
wasn't there a period that every single year?
Gemara talks about that, right? Because it was a political appointment. Who'd want that political appointment? You know, it was good for like half a year, but after that. So I'll point out the Kohen would recite Vidui first for 4 times for himself on a par, right? Then for his family, then for all the Kohanim, and then for all of Klal Yisrael. Okay, and with this we say out loud. You see where it says, "Piu piu 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 piu." I'm in the avodah. In the avodah, it says "Vekacha Yomer." Right, that's what we say. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? Have you all been in the show once in a while? Okay. Ana Hashem, please God, chatati, aviti, pashati defanecha ani ubeiti. I have sinned, me and my family. Ana Hashem, please kaperna lachataim lavanot v'shaim. Right? So please, he does, it says it's vidui. But he would say this vidui in a very special way. He would not say Hashem. He would say the name of God.
That's Bashem.
Bashem. Ana Bashem. Okay, we say the name of God. And then we say after that, Va'akohanim va'am ha'umdim ba'azara. Everyone standing there, they were outside. K'shayu shomim, when they hear it, at Hashem ha'nichbad va'anarav mafarash. They heard it explicitly. No, we don't say it. No, no, no. He would say it. One time a year, you were allowed to say the name Hashem, Yud Hei Vav Hei, I think. Pretty sure that's what he said. Okay? That name, when they heard it, Mipi Kohen Gadol B'kdusha V'tahara, from the name of the Kohen Gadol, Hayu Korim. So when they heard that name, they would be bow down, Umishtachavim, Korea is on your knees, Mishtachave is your face, Noflim Apneihem is Pishut Adayim Raglayim, on the ground. Okay? V'omrim and say, Baruch Shem Kivot Machoto Le'olam Ve'ed. I always get chills thinking about this. It's the only thing that we do literally that was done exactly the same way in the Beit HaMikdash. This is a reenactment that we do in the Beit HaMikdash. So they would do this a number of times. So that's what, since we mentioned that Kohen would do this, we reenact that Avodah in the Beit HaMikdash. And then he would do it again. You'll see, V'kach Haya Omer, Ana Hashem. He went back, he went, got another Korban, come back, V'kach Haya Omer, etc., etc. Okay? And then the next thing you'll see is he also sprinkled the blood on the parochet. V'kach Haya Moneh. I'm skipping a little bit. Okay, achat, one, achat ve'achat, one, one up, achat, achat v'shtayim, two, three, four. Like, it's just the way that it was commanded to do this sprinkling of the blood of the korban on the parochet. He wouldn't do it on the parochet, he would do it up towards the parochet, and the blood would fall on the floor, because otherwise they'd have a tremendously difficult dry cleaning bill. Okay? and that's how we would, and it goes through until he gets into the, until he gets into, you know, until the seir ha, you know what I'm talking about? There were two goats, identical size, identical shape, did a little lottery on them. There's a lot to talk about it there. We're not going to talk about it. And then they would take one, offer it as a korban. He would do, and then another one, what they would do? Throw it off a cliff. Right, they took it out to Nachal Eitan. There was a place that they would go in the Midbar and the Arava and throw it off a cliff. And that was part of the kapara. That's what it says explicitly in the Torah. That was part of the Avodah. Okay, and then when he was finally done, it was a Yom Tov, you know the song of the Mara Kohen. It was like when he finally got out, he was alive, and they had a sign. The Gemara says, the Mishnah says, they had a Zohorit, they took two strips, two sides of a strip of red bendel cloth, whatever. One was on the Seir, and one they left, they kept. And then it miraculously turned white. And then when it turned white,
I was thinking of those little string bracelets.
Yeah, those, really? When it turned white, they knew, and that was, and it was a Yom Tov, and that's why it says, You know the Mari Cohen, the very famous Avram Fried. La, 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 la. So that's a, you know, that's a new tone. They didn't sing that in Beit HaMikdash. Right. No, really, you're right. Mari Cohen. Oh, hello,
because there was the whole build up to it.
Of course, and the release and the pressure, and will God forgive us, and won't He forgive us, and you are finally forgiven. The face, ki brakim ayotzim iziva chayota, brakim, the lightning that shoots out of the angels' faces. Mari, that was the face of the Cohen. Mara Kohen, and we go, and it's beautiful, and we say over and over, Mara Kohen, how great it was.
So the years that the Kohen
Gadol
died.
Yeah, it's probably bad. No, it's bad. Mara Kohen! Okay. Okay, but, and then the Avoda takes an unbelievable 180 turn, and says, it was so awesome, but we don't have that anymore. What? Shame. Not shame. It says, and Ashrei Ayin Dehaitazot. Okay, there's one piyut that says how great it was. Okay, Halo Lemishma Aven Dava Nafsheinu. I wish we could hear this. It's like there's a great, 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 great. That was so great. I wish I could hear it. And then Umirov Avonenu Ein Lanu. But because of our sins, we don't have Lo Ishim, Lo Asham, Lo Badim, Lo Blulot. We don't have any of that stuff. Again, alphabet. You notice alphabet? Not this, not that, not none of it. Okay. And then, for those of you who know how bad it was, how come, why, and we go right into slichot zechor rachamecha. Okay, it ends with goes. I'm pointing out now. You notice zechor rachamecha. Remember, according to the old version, we would say slichot yugim amido, which we skip because of a printing error. We go to zechor rachamecha. Right into Zechor Rachamecha, which is the end of the Slichot. Zechor Rachamecha ends with a paragraph called Chatanu Yotzeinu Chatanu Avinu Slachlanu Yotzeinu. We have sinned, and now you notice a piyut.
We don't not have the Beit HaMikdash.
We had
no, but in the time of the Beit HaMikdash, they still sinned.
Correct.
So they lost the Beit HaMikdash because of specific sins. But they still sinned in the times of the Beit.
And they got forgiveness.
Say,
okay, oh, yeah, well, in the time of the Beit HaMikdash, there was no tefillah like we have today. It wasn't built up in the communal sense that we have today. They probably did tshuva, but there was no, like, I don't know what they did.
But so what happened in the times of the third Beit HaMikdash?
Excellent question. Well, look, I asked you again by asking that. What did they say? They didn't go to shul. I mean, shul wasn't, there wasn't such a thing the way we know shul today. It was just different. You notice a pew called Eila Ezkara. Okay, you see it right after.
But don't we say sorry on that question that there won't be Yom Kippur? Like there's only going to be.
No, there'll be Yom Kippur. There'll be Yom Kippur for sure. It's a Yom Kippur is a thing to write that. There's a midrashic idea that all there'll be is Purim, not Yom Kippur. But Yom Kippur again, if you see it as a chag, we'll still need that. We'll still need that kapara. See Eila Ezkara? So in our school's talk, it calls it the 10 martyrs. Anybody? Yeah. Who's using the white one? Do you have the white one? That's Nusach Sfard. Is it in there?
That's interesting.
Yes. Because I asked a friend of mine, I asked a neighbor today, I said, in your Nusach, in Nusach Edut Mizrach, do you have this piyut of Eila Ezkara, of Asarahu Gei Malchut? They don't. You just know, it doesn't belong here.
Wait, but this is not an Edut Mizrach.
No, it's not. It's Nusach Sfard. It's Nusach Achid. It's not. I'm curious if it's in there at all. They don't have it. It doesn't exist. And it makes a lot of sense. When does it belong? Anybody know when it belongs? It belongs on Tisha B'Av. How this got in here, someone's got to do a dissertation. I'm sure somebody did. What in the world is this doing here? You just know. Avelut, Ad Kidekach, mourning. This is a mournful... I just have to mention this. So there was a man, there is a man, he should live and be well to 120. His name is Mr. Manny Middleman. Manny Middleman was a Holocaust survivor as a young child. He went through the camps and he tells incredibly harrowing stories. And he was the chazan of the Young Israel of Oak Park for years and years. You know what? He can't do in my shul, the Young Israel of Oak Park. He was the chazan for Yom Kippur. It's in here.
This explanation of why it's in
composed by an otherwise unknown patan. Okay, it's here to be, we beg God to recall his covenant with the patriarchs. Even if their descendants are undeserving. That's great.
It doesn't fit.
Manny Middleman would recite, when he got to this part, he was just a beautiful balkar. He had a beautiful nusach. Beautiful, beautiful nusach. I mean, everybody loved to hear his davening. But when he got to this, he did it slowly, mournfully, and he just started crying in the middle.
First, Joshua was with me sitting at university.
And he was
sobbing.
He
wasn't the regular chazan.
Because he would say, you know, God, you know, chachami, and I remembered it.
It's written sad.
At some point, he would just break down. And you know, he wasn't crying about the Asarei Gemachot. He was just crying about his family, his parents, his rabbanim, his teachers, his communities. You know what I'm saying? But that's why we said it. That's clearly how it got into the Eastern European, version of tefillah. And because it was Yom Kippur, how could we not, on the holiest day of the year, talk about this?
Absolutely.
But just understand, it doesn't really fit. You know what I'm saying? It doesn't. You're supposed to, on the one hand, commemorate and ask for forgiveness, but it's not a day of mourning. It's not. Yeah. Yom Kippur is not a day of mourning. And we do say Yizkor. That's an interesting question. What is it doing there at all? And I believe it doesn't belong there. Not money for shuls, but everybody came to davening. Remember, everybody came to davening. In my first shul in Connecticut, it was just an education for me. I'll never forget this. Because I remember going to shul, you know, we're a firm community, and we get to shul, and everybody comes to shul. And the people for Yizkor, you know, the kids go out, everybody comes in. But in my first shul in Connecticut, it was your classic, traditional Orthodox shul. And it's a nice crowd. It wasn't crowded, but it's a better crowd than the rest of the year. We say Yizkor, and there is a mass exodus for the doors like I've never seen in my life. And I'm like, what is going on?
They didn't bother to stay till the end.
They came for Yizkor. Right. That's what they came for.
It's so funny. Everybody comes for Yizkor.
Have you seen that? Do you know what I'm talking about? Have you ever experienced that? I never had that. I grew up in a religious community where...
No, women all come at 10 o'clock for Yizkor.
Whatever time.
But they don't leave after.
You know what? I couldn't imagine looking at it in a very positive way.
What?
I just look at it in a very positive way because it's amazing that they feel that connection to a previous generation, that they
regardless of how they feel about the tefillah or the experience, they're going to honor that.
Right, it was to show respect.
It's wonderful that they show respect. It's wonderful they show respect. But traditional Judaism turned Judaism into a culture of death as opposed to a celebration of life. We say Kaddish, I do all the laws of mourning, I come for Yizkor, but God forbid that you come for Simchas Torah. You know what I'm saying? And that's what was the death knell of Orthodoxy in the 50s and 60s. That's the problem. Of course it's great that they honor their parents, but they honor your parents by raising your children Jewishly. You know what I'm saying? That wasn't
there. Even in the Hebrew community, people who are Shomer Shabbos, they don't rush to get the shul. Who don't have young children anymore, older people whose parents have passed, they have to be at shul by 10. They don't try to get there by 9 so they can hear Baruch Hu, so they can hear at Torah Lane or anything. You have to be there for Yisker. It becomes,
and that's problem,
the most important thing.
That's a problem. Okay, and of course, and that ends, and we go back to the Cholana Brit Bishonim. So just understand, it just got in there. I don't know what it's doing there. It's part of the davening. It's an emotional part for me, but
it makes sense in a sense of the, given that there's Marathon and then, but we don't have this because of our sins, and these,
but you're like, it's so interesting, the emotional, yeah, the emotional swing of Musaf is like, Musaf,
we don't miss the
Kedusha, the Avoda, we bow down to God, and then it's like,
yeah, no, it's like, we're not activated.
100%.
We have this high, but this is what we're missing.
100%.
And we're missing not just that. We're really suffering because we're missing.
Also,
100%.
You have to hit rock bottom before you go back up. Like before you get to Megillah, you have to recognize what sin caused.
All good. It just doesn't fit into the Ophi of the day. I say it. I don't think you should change it and not get rid of it. 100%. But just understand that. And then we just go back to the. So what? Okay, we're going to stop now because that's enough. But I just wanted to point out. So now, hopefully, you have a sense of the framework of all the davening is built all around Slichot. Over and over and over again, we recite Slichot. And now, when you get to Ne'ilah, I'm just going to point out, as I pointed out again, when you get to Ne'ilah, the middle of Ne'ilah, what?
You get frantic.
Oh my God! Right. Why? Because you'll notice seven times, we say seven times, El Melech. Now look, the Piyut is like, okay, now it's a short paragraph. And I go again, and now it's an even shorter paragraph. And then you say, here it is, Zohar, one second. Yad Chapashot, a short paragraph. A little bit longer, Zohar Brit. Okay? And then you say, Hashem, Hashem, Kerachum Mechanun is the paragraph itself. The Yogim Omidot are the interruption between the Yogim Omidot. So it's just like, you know, at the last moment, all we have left, it's like funneling down until that's all you have to say. You know what I'm saying? And the davening was basically designed, if you ask me, why do you need 10 kaparot and slichot over and over and over and over and over again? It was designed to get us to a place where you're at a point where you beat yourself down to such a degree that there's nothing left but you. There's nothing there between us and Ribbono Shel Olam. And you can't just show up at the Ilah. You know what I'm saying? You can't come at Kol Nidre and show up at the Ilah. And when you do that, it's great for people to come. But you have to, in order to appreciate it, you have to go the thing. You have to do the full experience. You know what I'm saying? You have to have the a million Havdalot. You know what I'm saying? You go to a baseball game, you're at extra innings, you're at the 14th inning. If you just show up at the 14th inning, okay, it's exciting. If you were there the whole time, and the ups and downs, and the back and forth, it's a different experience entirely. And so, God willing, one day, your children shall be grown, and you'll have this experience, a meaningful experience. But nonetheless, an understanding, a better appreciation of the structure of the davening, hopefully make it meaningful for all of us. Sorry, we went over, way over, sorry. Okay.